We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
It's that time of night, you can't stay uptight. So come and join the people and I'm feeling all right. Here on Overnight America. Overnight America.
Oh yeah, welcome back to Overnight America. It's what we do. Except I do it from my basement. You know what I've started to do from the home? There's a few things. One, I've been eating a lot, but not like overeating. I just find myself eating things I wouldn't normally eat. So when I would wake up in the morning, I normally would just have a quick breakfast or whatever was handy. But now I find myself cooking breakfast, which is nice. I enjoy my dinner meal because I'm not trying to rush out the door to get to the radio station. I get to eat at my own pace because all I need to do is walk downstairs into the home studio, which is wonderful. And something else I've started to do, I've started to stretch again. When I was younger, I used to stretch all the time. So I would play soccer in high school and grade school and in college. You know, I was somewhat active. Like I would play racquetball with friends or roller hockey whatever it was. I wasn't really great or good at any sport. I mean, I'm pretty terrible at every sport. The only thing I'm good at is racquetball. I was pretty good at that. Other than that, I was terrible. But I was active. It was just fun to play. I enjoyed the act of getting together and competing. And you know, I had a lot of heart. I was like the Rudy of the team. I had a lot of heart, not a lot of skill. And I had that going for me. But I would stretch every day because you would have to. You'd stretch before you play. And even on your off days, you would stretch. And I never stretched after college, ever. You wouldn't find me doing it. So what happens now? I start getting back into the stretching game, and I'm hoping it helps me because I've had some lower back pain and things like that. It's just part of getting old. Ugh, I'm getting old. But stretch, it's good. You know, but here's the problem in my house when you stretch. You find that your kid, who I have a five-year-old, wants to jump and play on me when I'm trying to stretch, right? So it's an opportunity for him to come over and, you know, use me as a jungle gym. The dog sees me that way too. Dog sees me sitting down trying to stretch. Oh, this is an opportunity for playtime. So grabs the rubber ball, comes on over, play tug of war with me, or, you know, try to get this and throw it or whatever, play fetch. So it's difficult. So I can't just go and say, okay, I'm going to go stretch and lock myself into the bathroom or something like that while I'm doing it. I still got to figure out a way to do that. But, you know, I think a lot of people are adapting to home quarantine and they're getting used to it. My wife's starting to get a little stir crazy at the moment. So she's, oh, I want to leave. This has been way too long. I, for one, have no problem. I wonder how long it would take for me to be stuck inside of a home before I actually go crazy. And I feel like I can go for a long time. If there was some sort of study where they needed participants to see how long they could last in solitary confinement, I feel like I would be able to leave it with flying colors. I just feel like I'm one of those people. I really don't feel the need to have to go socialize in person. I feel fine talking to people over the phone or messaging them, but not everyone's like that. I mean, you may be like that. You may not be like that. It just doesn't bother me right now. I don't feel like not like every night when I'd come in and I'd see producer Mike right across the glass over there, and I'd say, "Oh, I got to interact. I got to see this." No, that's okay. I don't need to see him. I like his photos just fine. He can send me those photos, and I can post them on the Ryan Recker Radio Facebook page for you to enjoy. But, you know, I don't feel like I'm missing out not seeing him every day. You know, I think guys are like that. Maybe girls are different, but I think most guys are like that. I look at the people my wife talks to, and she's constantly in communication and meeting, and she's got to be in touch with them. And then I think about my friends, the ones I've been friends with forever. If we talk a couple of times a year, I'm satisfied with that. I feel like that's most guys. Like, you can still be friends and have these relationships with people you've known forever, but you don't have to check in with them every night. You don't have to tuck them in at night, right? I feel like that. Let me give you an update of what's going on here in St. Louis. We got an update from the task force, and they do have a metropolitan task force, and it covers a lot of different people. The St. Louis Metropolitan Pandemic Task Force, they're keeping somewhat same numbers of what they were saying before.
We expect about 80,000 cases of COVID by the end of April. And again, that includes this 2.8. That's from this 2.8 million people within the MSA. Now, those 80,000 are not 80,000 people that are going to be tested positive for COVID. Those are 80,000 people that have been exposed and become infected with COVID. And a large percentage of them are not going to have any testing at all. In fact, around 30% of them are going to be completely asymptomatic or not have any symptoms at all.
Yeah. About what? A very, very high percentage. You won't even know it. And I believe that. So I'm probably one of those people. I don't think I contracted it. I didn't show any symptoms, but I'd be one of those people. I'm a low risk. I'm younger. I'm relatively healthy. I really don't have a lot of problems when it comes to getting the flu or colds or things like that. I normally find myself skating through flu season without having any issues. It's very rare for me to get sick. But, you know, the older I get, the more susceptible I am to that. You know, my last couple of years, I think I've taken about one sick day a year where I haven't been able to do the show. If you go back just a couple of years, I never took sick days. Never, ever. Because I just never got sick. Either that or I decided that I wasn't sick and I just went into work anyway. That was a mistake. Now I'm a little bit smarter. When I know I can't do it, I just can't do it. I just have to call it in. But either way, I know that once you get to 40, 50, okay, you're getting up there, 60, 70, depending on any underlining issues or anything else that's going on, things start to get a little bit harder for you to put that onto the back burner. And you start to show those symptoms. So some of you may know you had it, some of you might not. 80,000 seems like a high number, or maybe not. I mean, 2.5 million people, they're saying, in this metropolitan area, and that spans over to Illinois. It's just in general, they're looking at people that would normally come to St. Louis for emergency care. So if you had an emergency, where would you go? A lot of people would be here. That includes over across the river. So 80,000, that's what they're guessing, even though we'll never officially know that number. One other thing they said during this task force meeting.
And you heard me talk about anywhere from 1,300 up to more than 3,000. And again, those are contained within that 80,000 population. And so there will be a certain percentage that, of them, it's usually around 15 to 20%, that are going to require hospitalization. And our model is showing that that number could be anywhere from 1,300 up to 3,000 at the peak. And so that isn't new every day. That's accumulating over time. So at the peak, it would be 1,300 to 3,000 that require hospitalization.
Okay.
So that sort of, again, reinforces the idea that we believe that a surge is coming. Based on our models. And the only way that we can slow this surge down or make it so that our healthcare systems can handle the surge in patients more appropriately, as well as take care of those other patients will still show up to the hospital, is to decrease the number of people that become infected.
Yeah, that's your best chance. Decrease the number, and that makes it so it's less likely you have this large surge, which is a good way to look at it. So here's the unknowns when it comes to these modeling. A couple of things you don't know. Number one, of the ones that will contract it, how many of those will actually need hospitalization? So they can estimate this, and they can say, you know, 1,200, 1,300, all the way up to, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 at a given time. And that's a lot, but this is what you can also look at. Okay, how many beds do we have? How many do we think at the peak will be needed? Now, factor in other things, too. There's less crime in the city because people have been staying away and staying at home. There's less car accidents, which would require people to have hospitalizations because they're not on the roads. And generally speaking, there's just less accidents in general. So that frees up a lot of availability. So while they look at these numbers, they don't exactly know, because they can guess how many people, and based on a percentage, they can guess how many would need hospitalization or how many of them are actually going to be fine, as in just self-quarantining, staying at home, because they don't need a hospital bed or a ventilator because it doesn't rise to that level. A lot of guessing going on, not only here in St. Louis, but in the entire country. President Trump had a press conference from earlier today. Not really much new there, but there was one thing he dropped about the World Health Organization I want to play for you coming up next. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
Yeah. Didn't Doug and Donna play this for you by request last time they were in the studio? Let's listen to this for a moment.
The stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance need the cover of October skies. With all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. Yet all the night's magic seem to whisper and hush. Yet all the soft moonlight seems to shine in your blush. Can I just have one more morning dance with you?
Oh, my love. This is so good. Thank you, producer Mike. You got a good one there. Here we are in Overnight America with that beautiful moon. People have been posting photos, and I've seen them on social media. There's one that was just sent to me on the Facebook page. You can look up Ryan Recker Radio. I think the direct link is facebook.com/Ryan Recker Radio. And I got to say, thank you for those that have been sending those in. It just looks absolutely beautiful. 314-436-7900. Do we cut funding to the World Health Organization? Should we? Mostly because they kind of ran defense for China, which made things a lot worse for the rest of the world. And this is back in January, after months were known. And in retrospect, we can go back and look at this and find the way that they were hiding what was going on in China. Luckily, President Trump had some foresight to realize that maybe stopping travel from some of these high-risk countries would be a good idea, and he was highly criticized for doing such. But, hey, he's saying, hey, the World Health Organization have made a lot of mistakes. What are we doing giving them money to operate if this is the result? So here's part of the press conference today. They got a lot of people talking.
The WHO, that's the World Health Organization, receives vast amounts of money from the United States. And we pay for a majority, a biggest portion of their money. And they actually criticized and disagreed with my travel ban at the time I did it. And they were wrong. They've been wrong about a lot of things. And they had a lot of information early, and they didn't want to do very, they seemed to be very China-centric. And we have to look into that. So we're going to look into it. We pay for, we give a majority of the money that they get. And it's much more than the 58 million dollars is a small portion of what they've gotten over the years. Sometimes they get much more than that. Sometimes it's for programs that they're doing, and it's much bigger numbers. And if the programs are good, that's great as far as we're concerned. But we want to look into it. World Health Organization, because they really are, they called it wrong. They call it wrong. They really, they missed the call. They could have called it months earlier. They would have known. And they should have known, and they probably did know. So we'll be looking into that very carefully. And we're going to put a hold on money spent to the WHO. We're going to put a very powerful hold on it, and we're going to see. It's a great thing if it works, but when they call every shot wrong, that's no good.
When they call every shot wrong, that's no good. That's absolutely, it's worth looking into. Why? What if it's worse than them just getting it wrong? What if it's they looked at China and they said, we're going to pledge allegiance to them as opposed to what's actually happening? What if their integrity has been broken? And go ahead, investigate that. I think we need to make some pretty strong stances here to some of these world organizations, just like we threatened the United Nations in saying that, hey, what's going on here? You know, of everything that's going on in the world, you're giving us a hard time, the United States, for president. There's so many different agencies that have, they're not used to, they're just not used to having someone stand up against them. It's almost like in grade school when you get bullied all those years. You know, the United States is kind of that preppy kid that got the parents got a lot of money. So the bullies come around, they bully him, and the kid gives him the lunch money day in and day out until eventually the kid stands up and says, I'm done giving you the lunch money. And they're not used to it, right? When someone can come up and defend themselves. We saw that with so many different countries. And President Trump has done a great, great thing for the nation, standing up and saying, hey, trade imbalances, we're going to discuss these things. United Nations, we're going to get on the same page. We're just not automatically going to hand over a blank check year after year if this is what the result's going to be. We're going to work on these things together. And you know what? Good for him to do that. And with the World Health Organization, if we find out that they were purposely lying or they were siding with China and giving them a giving them the defense they needed in order to try to have them hide what was going on there, and ultimately that ended up putting the world in this giant pandemic, if they played a part or contributed into that, they need to be held accountable for that. So good for President Trump saying, all right, you're going to pay for these mistakes if we find out you made them. 314-436-7900. Looks like Tom's calling in. What's going on, Tom?
Hello.
How are you tonight?
Oh, not good. I'm not good. A childhood idol of mine has passed away due to the coronavirus.
And this is
I'm in North St. Louis County. Yeah.
Yeah.
John,
you know,
Prine,
sir. I got to say, maybe you can tell me a little bit about him, because I'm really not familiar with his work.
Well, he started out in Chicago and then from South, playing the clubs in Chicago. And John Prine is a national treasure. If you don't know who John Prine is, I suggest you learn, because I'm telling you, he, as far as I'm concerned, as far as lyricists go in the history of lyricists, he's right up there with Bob Dylan. There's no doubt about it. There is no doubt about it. Songs I suggest you listen to are Souvenirs. Well, Billy Bob Thornton picked him to write a song for his movie, Daddy and Them.
Okay.
In which it was the last movie that John Prine, well, it was the last movie, not John Prine, it was the last movie that, that a, oh, what's his name? God, I'm losing it. Tonight's been very, no, it has.
I
John
feel
Prine
that
is, was a childhood memory of mine. I mean, all my buddies were into John Prine, Steve Goodman too. He and Steve Goodman. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know who Steve Goodman was.
No, I'm not familiar.
You know, he died of cancer at a young age, but Steve Goodman was John Prine, Steve Goodman. Anyway, yeah. Well, this, I'm sure your listeners know who John Prine was, and I'm sorry to say was, because...
Yeah. Did you ever get a chance to see him live?
I never did. No, I never did. I saw Leo Kottke live, and seen Bob Dylan live, but I never did see John Prine live. No, I did not.
Years active, 71 to this year, 2020. Man, he played a lot of years in front of the public. Bob Dylan a few times. I've enjoyed Bob Dylan. I do think Bob Dylan is the greatest when it comes to American-born musicians, significantly speaking. I think he's just fantastic. So you put him up on the kind of a same level as a Bob Dylan?
Oh, definitely. No doubt about it. You listen to some of his lyrics. He's definitely right up there with Bob Dylan.
Well, how about we'll play Souvenirs here for you before we go into break? Would you enjoy that?
Play Souvenirs for me and my buddy Tom Valeni, who passed away a year ago. And, please.
All right. Thank you, Tom, for calling in to Overnight America. Have a good night.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tom Prine passing away, complications there with the coronavirus. And I'm just not familiar with his work, but I'm sure there's a lot of people that are that have enjoyed his work over the years. So let's play a little part of Souvenirs here so you can get a feel for the genius that is John Prine, as Tom would say, on Overnight America, KMOX.
All the snow's turned to water. Christmas days have come and gone. I hate graveyards and old pawn shops, for they always bring me tears. I can't forgive the way they rob me of my childhood souvenirs. Memories that can't be bought, won at carnivals for free. Well, it took me years to get those souvenirs, and I don't know how they slipped away from me.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Like the sound of this one. Oh, there it is.
You saw me standing alone without a dream in my heart. Without a love,
you know, I feel the last time we played this much music, John McCormick was on the air here. Welcome back to Overnight America. You and I saw online too, by the way, and I played this yesterday when it came to the press conference, and there was someone that said they worked for Hong Kong Phoenix TV, which they said was independent from the Chinese government. Well, as it turns out, it is not. So she denied she worked for China, and as it turns out, yes, she actually works for China. So we had a Chinese propagandist come in and try to lead or mislead the president in a certain way and then deny ties to China. Isn't that something? I don't know if you listened to the show last night. You can go back and catch it at kmox.com/ONA, or you can go to the new Ryan Recker Facebook page, and we can always communicate that way. Let's take another call, and let's go to Chris, who's calling in. Welcome to Overnight America.
Hey, good to talk to you, young man.
Hello.
Howdy. Hey, what you were saying about, I mean, I'm not like quite as well-versed as you and some of the callers on the World Health Organization, but, you know, I like some of the comments I've heard, you know, what you had to say, and it just frosts me to no end why the U.S., seems to be the chump of the world to, you know, to be, you know, I guess the savior and pay a large share of this, you know, I guess whatever these costs are. Pardon me for, I'll get it together here, but I like the fact that President Trump has, you know, calls these people out.
He has been, and he's made it very clear. He says, what are we getting from these relationships if we're the only ones that are contributing into them? And ultimately, if you want to talk about the good that these organizations can offer, in theory, they can offer and do a lot of good. However, you know, President comes in and says, well, okay, let's pull an audit. Let's see what they've done. Let's see what their track record is, and let's see how they've used our money. Some of these organizations are not using our money responsibly, and they're not using them in our best interest. So then we need to wonder, why are we footing a majority of the bill for these organizations as a country when we can ask these other countries that are doing just fine to start anteing up? Let's put some money into the pot here. All right. Pass the hat around. It's time that we start treating this, treating other countries more fair. And maybe some people were afraid of that 30 or 40 or 50 years ago because they couldn't afford it. But certainly economies have grown and these other countries have become financial giants with the United States, and they haven't upped what they were contributing to these organizations. So when the president goes up there and says, okay, let's look across the country. We got bridges that are falling apart that we can't afford to take care of. We have veterans that have been mismanaged and their VA hospitals are crumbling. We have schools that can't get built. We got all these things we need to do here in the United States. Why are we spending all this money overseas for organizations that ultimately work against our best interests? And all these other countries aren't paying up. Why are we doing that when we have other things we can be doing with it? And, you know, that's a good point.
That is, so brilliantly stated what you just said. And yeah, just to, for instance, Ryan, our infrastructure, and there's just, we don't take the best of care of our veterans for, you know, what the thankful job that they did serve in our country. And it's not right. And, listening to your show on the way back from work last night, I liked, you had that reporter ask President Trump that question. I think that Chinese lady, a Chinese reporter,
yeah.
And
you did catch that yesterday.
That was suspicious from the get go.
It was there was something interesting because normally, if you're a reporter, you don't come in and sympathize with China as your premise, right? So that was a little bit weird to begin with. There was something that was fishy there. And that's why, even though the president listened to the question, answered the question, but then they continued to lean into, oh, woe is China for starting all of this. He was very suspicious. Who do you work for? Is that run by the Chinese government? She says, no, she does not work for the Chinese government. But then we find out, yes, she actually does. So that was a big mistake, too. You know, I'm curious who gave her the credential without looking back into the backstory there, because that's we shouldn't be having people that work for the Republic of China and is under their payroll and working and doing their bidding coming in and participating in these. It shouldn't happen.
Yeah, well stated. And there's a lot of propaganda and garbage that does come out of that country. But I want to say that Mrs. Recker, if you're listening, Ryan always talks great about you, and you're doing an A+ job, and I think you would be a good test study on being homebound, but you haven't missed a beat, man. You just keep up the good work, and I'll keep
it.
Listening.
Thank you. Very good to hear from
all
you.
All right,
Chris.
Ryan. Take care.
Have a good night. Well, I'm going to play a couple more clips here from the press conference because we have a little bit more time. Question. Oh, this is an interesting one. Let me just play this real quick. Listen to the question and listen to how President Trump answers it. I won't play the full answer, but I think it's funny because he's getting tired of these type of setups.
Congressman Jerry Connolly, a Democrat from Northern Virginia, told the local DC CBS station that you personally requested the CARES Act stimulus bill be stripped of $25 billion for the Postal Service. Connolly claims that unless the USPS gets that $25 billion, the agency will be run out of money by June. He accuses you of hastening the demise of the Postal Service. Could you respond to that, please?
I'm the reason the Postal Service has lost billions of dollars every year for many, many years. I'm the demise. This is the new one. I'm now the demise of the Postal Service. I'll tell you who's the demise of
the Postal Service has lost money every year for who knows how long. And I'm the reason the Postal Service is in a tough spot. Yeah, right. So he goes on to answer it and he says they take all these packages from these companies, the Amazons of the world or whatever it is, all these people that are shipping products because they got the infrastructure to deliver these things. You know, he talks about them. You know, everyone's really upping the commerce, but they don't charge them any extra for doing it. So what, they're taking a loss for delivering other people's products? He said, you got to start charging them more. It's simple. Simple economics. All right, and then you can fix your problem. It's hilarious, but okay, he has to laugh at that, and he says, "Man, they've been losing money forever. Probably his entire life, the Postal Service has been losing money, and now it's his fault that the things." Oh, that's great. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
I know this is the Police, right? Yeah, Walking on the Moon. Very good moon song there. All right, Producer Mike. You having some fun with the moon? I don't know if you had the opportunity to go out and take a peek, take a gander, but so many great photos have been showing up on social media. And thank you for those that have been sending them to me on the Ryan Recker Radio Facebook page. Go ahead, join me on there, Ryan Recker Radio. I'd love to hit 1,000 people to like that page. I got to think of something fun to do once we hit 1,000. That there's some sort of incentive for it to happen. What do I got to do at 1,000 to show my appreciation? And I'd like that to happen while I'm still here at the house in the basement. It'd be nice to say I accomplished at least something while I was here. So before we go for the night, I wanted to play a few things. All right, so this is interesting. Vice President Pence was asked about reopening the economy, and he said one thing in here that grabbed my attention.
How does the administration envision this happening? Is it guidance from the White House and you hope the governors follow it? Or are you going to put it in the governor's hands or the mayor's hands? How do you envision all of that working together?
Well, the one thing I can assure you is that the president's decision in that regard is going to be informed by what the data shows, and about decisions about when we can responsibly reopen America and put America back to work. I can tell you the CDC will have new guidance tomorrow that the CDC will be publishing for people who were in proximity to an individual that tested positive for coronavirus but have no symptoms. And CDC will be publishing new guidance about how those individuals and the circumstances under which they might be able to return back to work.
All right, so I'm gonna stop it there just for the sake of time. But they're starting to put different guidelines in, much like they talked about the guidelines of staying at home, social distancing, things like that. They're going to start putting guidelines out of this is what's going to happen when it's time for you to go back, right? So here's how you protect yourself in the meantime while we still have treatments, but we don't have a vaccine. So that's a good sign to me. It shows that they are at least getting these things prepared for when we eventually do venture back out into the world. Dr. Fauci was asked about that too.
My daughter is a school teacher, so she asked me the same question. You know, it is unpredictable, but you can get a feel for if we start talking about the things where the curve goes down and we really have minimal, how we respond and what kind of a rebound we see or don't see, I think is going to have a lot of influence probably more immediately on things like summer camps than it does in the fall. I fully expect, though I'm humble enough to know that I can't accurately predict, that by the time we get to the fall, that we will have this under control enough that it certainly will not be the way it is now, where people are shutting schools. My optimistic side tells me that we'll be able to renew to a certain extent, but it's going to be different. Remember now, because...
All right, and we don't have time to play the whole thing. We're going to renew, but to a certain extent, but we are going to have to at least go back with some confidence that things will be different if this does reemerge towards the end of the season again. So that gives me a lot of confidence leading into it. The replay hours are going to be coming in next. Enjoy the rest of your night. At Ryan Recker on Twitter, Ryan Recker Radio on Facebook. We'll see ya. Bye.
My heart beats with the lonely rain, wishing I could see your face again. Change the dial on the radio, find something playing.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.